This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. We'll begin today with a brand new bill from the state Senate to allow more charter schools in Boston and other low-performing districts. It's the latest development in a long-running and heated debate, and in many ways, the Senate bill seeks a middle road between proponents of more charter schools and those who oppose them. But it could end up facing resistance from both sides. The bill would raise the number of charter schools, but increase funding for all public schools. It would also tighten how charters are governed and ensure they're open to all students. Here's State Senate President Stan Rosenberg.
We focused on funding. We focused on transparency and governance. And we focused on ensuring that the children who were in the various types of schools look like the diverse populations having the diverse experiences that you would find in the traditional public schools and in those other settings.
The Senate bill comes ahead of a ballot question next November to expand the number of charter schools. And joining us now from the State House is Senator Sonia Chang Diaz. She's chair of the Education Committee that led the working group that created this bill. And Senator, good to have you back on Radio Boston.
Thanks, Anthony. Thanks for having me back.
So let's start with the most sort of important issue, perhaps the most contentious issue, raising the number of charter school seats. How would this bill do that?
Sure. So one thing that's important to understand about this bill is that we worked very hard as a Senate to adhere to the goal of serving 100% of the students in the Commonwealth. And for context for listeners, currently 96% of students in the Commonwealth are served through the district school system, and 4% are served through the charter system. And so we want to put forth a bill that that addresses the needs of both. So in this bill, for starters, we are completely blowing up the cap, getting rid of the cap on charters that serve high-risk students, for example, students who are homeless, students who have dropped out and are returning to school, students who are pregnant and parenting. So if you're a school whose mission is primarily to serve those groups of students, there's no cap that would apply, and that is a first for Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. For all other charter schools that are serving a more general population, we in the bottom 10% performing districts in the state, the cap would rise from the current 18% limit that's in current statute to 23%. But at a gradual pace of 0.5% per year, so there's no shock to any district system.
And Senator, just to be clear to the listeners, when you're talking about those increase in percentages, you're talking about increase in net school spending, right? From 18 to 23%?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. Thank you for the clarification.
Sure.
So we would increase at that gradual pace, and we also give incentives to districts here to put forth more innovation internal to their own system by allowing districts at their local option to choose to count Horace Mann charter schools, which are in-district charters, and innovation schools toward their local cap.
I see. Now, if I have this correct, and if I've understood this correctly, the bill would increase funding for all schools, $200 million a year for 7 years, as a way to also increase funding for charter school seats. So voting for more money for non-charters would also mean voting for more for more charters as well. So it sounds like an effort to get more people to buy into this. Is that fair?
Well, really, the driving principle behind the funding provision is, again, what I was saying at the beginning about making sure that we're serving the 96% of students that remain in our district system, mm-hmm. And not just the 4%, right? If we cost out what it would cost the Commonwealth if the ballot initiative to raise the cap on charter schools would cost, it's a very extreme version of a cap lift. And the exposure there for the Commonwealth goes up to around $300 million per year once it's fully phased in. And cumulatively, that comes to about $1 billion over 6 years. And that's for 4% of the students in the Commonwealth. Alternately, we could take that $1 billion and spend it on all of the districts, right? And including charters, right? But all of our district schools, our traditional district schools and charter schools, and that is about what the price tag would be to phase in The recommendations of the Foundation Budget Review Commission, which released a report last fall, finding that we are underestimating as a state by about a, you know, by $1 billion+, what it costs to educate our children in Massachusetts. And so we're saying, look, we just we need to fund what we have before we go, you know, opening new schools.
Hmm. As you know, this is, and we mentioned this at the top of the segment, of course, a long-running debate, contentious. We spoke to Lisa Geisbahn. She's Executive Director of Citizens for Public Schools about her concerns with the Senate bill. Here's just a little bit of what she said.
We at Citizens for Public Schools are going to continue to be concerned about running two dual and unequal school systems that are not approved by their local communities.
So, Senator, this criticism that always comes up in the debate about more charter schools, about two dual and unequal, sort of two unequal school systems, are those concerns addressed in this bill in any way?
They are, Anthony, and I'm very proud to say that without reservation that they are. I really challenge anybody to read this bill and find a place, you know, where they have a concern about equity or a duality that is not addressed in it, right? We've heard the concerns, and I share many of the concerns, about charter schools that serve unequal populations and that, you know, choose easier to educate students. Not all charter operators do that. Some do, you know, and it's there to see in the numbers. And so we put very clear and enforced provisions in place in the bill that say, one, for starters, just for getting your students in the door in the first place, that charters henceforth under this bill would have to allot their seats based on what we call an opt-out lottery. And that means that we would do away with the step that parents have to essentially self-select in by filling out an application to get into the lottery currently. Mm-hmm. So we would do away with that and say all students are automatically put into the lottery, and then any family can, of course, decline a seat or opt out of the lottery, you know, whenever they choose. But we're not relying on that self-selection in the first place. So that's the front door of the school. And then on the back door of the school, there's this critique that some, again, not all, but some charter operators are pushing students out that are harder to educate or more expensive to educate. So in the bill, we say very clearly that if, as a charter operator, if your retention numbers are worse than your sending districts, then when you come up for renewal of your charter at the 5-year mark, you simply will not be renewed. There's no discretion involved. You just won't be renewed.
Well, let me ask you about this opt-in mechanism, and I understand the purpose of that, but charters still wouldn't be required to take care of special needs kids. I mean, in other words, families with special needs kids would have to choose a conventional school, so they'd have to opt out. I mean, isn't that still letting charters off the hook in this regard?
Well, so a couple of things there. Currently, many special education students are educated at charter schools. So it's not the case that families of special ed students are, you know, must choose a district system in order to have their needs addressed. Many are making other choices than that currently. It is also the case under federal law, right? This is not even a matter of state law, that charter operators are required to meet the needs of special education students that show up in their doors. That's just not something that's up for discussion. That is a requirement. There is a question, of course, are parents going to choose a charter school if a program doesn't already pre-exist, right, when they get that seat in the lottery, perhaps? And that's a personal choice that every family is going to have to make for their own student. But because we have the statistically representative set of students even getting offered that seat, and then again on the back door, that requirement that as a charter operator you have to be showing equal numbers of the populations that you're serving in order to get renewed, we think this is going to just really close the gap in terms of equity.
Let me ask you this, and this is the funding question. $200 million a year for 7 years, where are these hundreds of millions of dollars going to come from? I mean, doesn't this signal tax increases, something that Governor Charlie Baker has made clear he won't support?
Well, first, I want to just clarify that $200 million figure is a projection. You know, that is not, there's not nowhere in the bill that says exactly the numbers, $200,000 a year.
$200 million.
And that'll be based
right.
on.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm sorry. And that'll be based on, you know, a lot of different variables that just no one can say for sure at this point. How many charters come into existence, for example, or how many children are living in poverty in Massachusetts, you know, a couple of years out from now. But that said, the recommendations of the Foundation Budget Review Commission, which were separate from the question of whether we should have more charters in Massachusetts, that those findings are something that districts, educators, parents, legislators like myself and others have been pushing for us to investigate as a state for years, because districts are bearing these costs already. And it, you know, they are paying, right, those costs already to educate every student who comes in the door, to pay for the rising cost of healthcare, as is everyone else in America these days, for the cost of special education requirements, which are right for us to have. And districts are holding that bag right now. And the findings of the Foundation Budget Review Commission are that we as a state are underestimating what it costs to educate children by at least $1 billion a year in Massachusetts. And what localities are looking to is for the state to be a partner with them in doing that work that is showing up right at their doorstep, whether or not we're recognizing that reality at the state level. So those costs exist whether or not we want to admit it. So it's not a question of are we paying for something new here. The districts are paying for it already.
Right. Senator, let me ask you one last question. I know I've got to let you go, but Governor Baker was asked to comment on this new bill. He said he hadn't read it yet, but he did say that he continues to hold on to his view that there are 34,000 parents and kids on a waiting list. They've been on a waiting list for a long, long time. As you know, he's in favor of expanding the cap in a big way. Mm-hmm. Is this going to satisfy him, do you think? I mean, can you make the case to him that that concern mm-hmm. is addressed?
Well, so there's a couple things that I would say. First, just picking up off of that $200 million figure that, again, is, you know, it's a projection first year of implementation of the foundation budget. That number, coincidentally, is almost exactly equal to the campaign pledge that the governor made when he was running for governor, that he would fund local education aid equivalent to growth in state revenue. And our growth in state revenue this year, this coming year, is projected to be 4.3%. So if you grew local education aid from the state at that 4.3% rate, that would equal almost exactly $200 million. So this is something, you know, where already our revenue growth is showing some capacity to make those early investments. And then secondly, this bill puts forth tens of thousands of new seats in innovative classrooms in the Commonwealth. And that is what the proponents of the ballot question and of the governor's bill have said that they are interested in.
All right. Well, that's State Senator Sonia Chang-Diaz, chair of the Education Committee, talking about a new bill to raise the charter cap approved by the state Senate. Senator Sonia Chang-Diaz, thanks so much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for the coverage, Anthony.
And listeners, stay with us. Coming up, Michelle Lee, the current director of the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, joins us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.